Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. And as Dr. Aiken mentioned, my name is Mandy Priyar, and I work with Dr. Tom Sinclair at NC State. And I hope some of you in the audience are familiar with his work in crop physiology. And this morning, I'm going to talk about our work in... It's not working? Better? So this morning I'm going to talk about our work in a limited transpiration trait in different crops, especially in soybean, sorghum, and maize. And this talk is divided into three main sections. In the first section, I would like to talk about this limited transpiration trait itself and its importance in improving crop productivity in stress environments. And in the second section, I will be talking about the evaluation of this limited transpiration trait in response to dry air and soil, and these experiments that we conducted, control environment growth chambers and greenhouse, and then I will share some of the findings that we have found from these experiments. And in the last section, I will briefly talk about the use of chemical aquaporin inhibitors as potential screens to differentiate between the genotypes that exhibit this trait and the genotypes that don't exhibit this trait. So first of all, why we need such traits? So when the plants are growing under non-stress, well-watered conditions, the stomates are open and the exchange between the atmospheric carbon dioxide and the plant water vapor is occurring. But as the air around the plant gets drier, BPD is increasing and it causes the plants to lose more and more water, and under continued stress, the stomates close. And consequently, they lose their capability to assimilate carbon, and then the yield is decreased. However, if the plants possess a trait to limit their transpiration under high VPD, they can partially close their stomates and still conserve some water for later use. So in this graph, a hypothetical relationship between the time of day, vapor pressure deficit on the left y-axis, and transpiration rate on the right y-axis is shown. So VPD response, which is in the dashed line, it increases as the day progresses, and it reaches a maximum of about like 3 kilopascal in the 3 in the afternoon. And transpiration rate, the solid line, also follows a similar pattern of temperature increase and VPD increase, and it reaches a maximum of about 0.9 millimeters in the afternoon. So this is a response of a plant which does not possess this limited transpiration trait. However, if this is a plant which has this trait, it can limit its transpiration under high VPD to maybe less than 0.6 or even maybe less than 0.4 millimeters per hour, thereby conserving a significant amount of water. So now I would like to switch our attention to the actual evaluation of this trait and how we measure this trait in response to dry air and dry soil. First, I would like to describe the methodology that we use in the measuring this trait in dry air. So lots of researchers in our lab have done these experiments in NCSU greenhouse and phytotron facilities over the years. Basically, we grow these plants in specially constructed PVC pots in the optimum growing conditions, well-watered, normal temperatures, and we grow them for about 4 to 5 weeks or until they have 4 to 5 fully expanded leaves, and then we move them to a controlled environment growth chamber. So, okay, this is not looking very good here, but this is the actual setup of the experiment that we have in the growth chambers. So when we are testing the plant transpiration response to VPD, we cover each individual plant with these clear plastic containers. We call them VPD chambers. And in these chambers, we can precisely monitor and measure the temperature and humidity surrounding each plant. So there are these data loggers, which are connected to these VPD chambers that measure the temperature and humidity at each 1 minute interval. And we use that data to calculate the effective VPD around each plant. These tubes that are connected to the top of the chambers other end of these tubes are connected to flow meters, and we regulate the flow that goes into each chamber, and it changes the BPD according to our requirements. This is another close-up of our setup, and these plants are exposed to three increasing levels of BPD, low, medium, and high. For low BPD, which is a range between 0.5 to 1.5 kilopascal, we have the flow of, and I apologize for this typo, it should be less than 0.5 liters per minute. And we also use humidifiers depending on our requirements to change the humidity around these plants. For medium BPD, which is 1.5 to 2.5 kilopascal, we have a flow rate of 0.5 to 1.2. And for high BPD, which is anything about 2.5 kilopascal, we use a flow rate of 1.2 to 2.2. And also we pass this air through a tube which contains silica gel first. So it absorbs the moisture from the air. So the air gets more drier. And then we force that air into these BPD chambers. So it increases the effective BPD around these plants. So this whole setup is from low to high BPD is done in one day. And then after the end of the first day, the plants are watered and they are allowed to and then we repeat these same settings the next day. And after the end of the second day, we harvest these plants and measure the leaf area. And we describe the transpiration loss in these BPD conditions on the basis of leaf area for individual plants. So we get these kind of data from these experiments. For example, in sorghum here, on the x-axis we have vapor pressure deficit increasing from left to right. So it means as we go from left to right, the air is getting drier. And on the y-axis we have the transpiration rate, which is the milligram of water lost per unit of leaf area per unit of time. So this genotype, SC1345, it shows a typical linear response of a genotype that does not have a limited transpiration trait. So as the air gets drier, they keep on losing more water. And in this case, two different symbols, open and closed symbols, they represent two different days of the data that we collected. However, in the same study, we found several different genotypes that showed a different response to BPD. In the above panel and bottom, SC982 had a break point in their BPD at about 1.5 kilopascal, and SC803 had a break point at about 2.2. So after they reach this break point, they don't have the same response to BPD. They have a slower or a restricted response, and this way the plants can conserve more water for future use in the growing season. So we have done similar studies in soybean, maize, and peanut. For example, here in soybean, commercial genotype A59559 was compared with a plant introduction from Japan, PI416937. And you can see in the bottom panel that the plant introduction had a breakpoint at a BPD of 2.13, after which its transpiration decreased as compared to previous BPD levels. Whereas in the commercial genotype, we don't have any response and no sensitivity to increasing BPD. Similarly, in maize, we have found significant genotypic variability, where some genotypes show this transpiration trait, whereas some others, they don't. So to summarize this section, we have different crops, and within each crop, there is a significant genotypic variation in their response to increasing vapor pressure deficit. And we think these are a very useful resource for our breeding purposes to develop new cultivars to grow into the water stress environment condition. So in the second section of this second part, I'm going to describe briefly about the response to dry soil. So this is our setup in the greenhouse where we test the response to dry soil, and in this case it's an example of maize. And similarly, we grow the plants for about 4 to 5 weeks or until they reach 4 to 5 fully expanded leaves. And then we bag the pods to reduce any evaporated water losses from the soil. So, and we dry these plants slowly over a period of 2 weeks. We restrict the amount of water we add to each pot every day, and we measure their transpiration response, which is the difference in their weight every day. So we get this kind of data from these experiments, and in this example, in maize, the x-axis is the fraction of transferable soil water, where 1 is essentially well-watered soil, and on the right is 0, where the available 10 available soil water has been depleted. And on the y-axis is the transpiration rate. So in this example, in the beginning of the curve, there is the plateau of NTR until it reaches a threshold value of FTSW. For example, in the hybrid 17, it's 0.59, and in hybrid 2, it's 0.37. So the hybrids that have a high threshold value, for example, like hybrid 17, they are of special interest to us because they can restrict their transpiration rate even at a high soil water content, and it can help conserve the soil, conserve water in the soil. And similarly, as in response of transpiration to VPD, we have a similar response in transpiration to drying soil in these different crops and within crops, different genotypes that have different responses. And in the end, I would like briefly talk about the use of chemical inhibitors, especially silver, today as potential screens to discriminate between different genotypes. And why do we need these screens? As I just described, these direct measurements of transpiration response to increasing vapor pressure deficit and soil drying, they are laborious, time-consuming, and they also require special equipment, and you can only measure a limited number of genotypes at a given time. However, use of chemical aquaporin inhibitors may be a less precise technique, but it is very time-effective, and we can test a huge number of genotypes in a short amount of time. So in this study, similarly, we grow the plants for 4 to 5 weeks under optimum conditions, and then we remove the shoots and leaves from the separate from the roots and put the de-rooted shoots in DI water and measure their transpiration rate over time. We do this by weighing the flask with water and plant over time, and then we move the same plant to a solution which has the chemical inhibitor. And then again, we measure their transpiration response. So we get 2 different transpiration responses, and we calculate a decrease in transpiration rate based on those transpiration responses. And this is the equation that we use, where TR0 is the transpiration response of those plants when they were in water, and TRN is the transpiration response of those plants when they are put in the chemical inhibitor. So in this study, 2 different soybean genotypes were tested. We used de-rooted plants of these 2 genotypes and tested their response to silver, CHX, and mercury. And I'm going to focus on the response to silver because in this case, you can see only silver differentiated between these 2 genotypes. The NO11136 had a decrease in transpiration rate of almost 45%. Whereas the plant introduction PI416937 was relatively insensitive to all these treatments. And I forgot to mention the x-axis are the treatment, the concentrations of each chemical ranging from 0 to 500 micromolars. And on the y-axis, we have the decrease in transpiration rate. The important thing to know here is that, as I already showed earlier, that the PI416937, it shows a limited transpiration trait, whereas NO11136, it has a linear response to increasing VPD. And in this recent study with sorghum, we tested the same, the response of detached sorghum leaves to silver again, and we measured their decrease in transpiration trait, and we have the breakpoint values of these traits from other studies. And when we correlated these 2, we found a very significant correlation between these 2. And we can see that the plants that show a breakpoint, they have a less sensitivity to silver. So we can use silver as a negative screen to discriminate between the genotypes that may or may not show a response to VPD. So as I mentioned earlier, why we should use these chemical inhibitors. And due to the certain restrictions or limitations in the direct testing of transpiration response in VPD and FTSW. We have this three-tier screening system. The first one being the visual screening in the field, where we can visually screen hundreds and thousands of lines at a time, and from those we can select some of the lines to test with chemical inhibitors. And from there, these chemical inhibitors can further narrow the number of genotypes that we can feasibly test in the controlled environment system. So in the end, I would like to summarize this by saying that the limited transpiration trait, it helps conservation of soil water under water-limited conditions. And there is a significant inter- and intra-specific variability and diversity in crops and genotypes. And the identification of those genotypes that have this trait, that it can really facilitate in our breeding efforts. And also the use of chemical inhibitors, especially in, we have seen silver is a very responsive one. It could be used as a potential screen for this trait in the three-tier screening system. And in the end, I would like to thank you again for your time. And I would be happy to answer if there are any questions.
Well, did you look at the light levels as a variable and as well as VPD, or did you just try to keep the light levels constant for all experiments?
No, we keep them constant every time because we don't want to induce any... So the question is, if we keep the light levels constant at every in these experiments, or we use this as a variable?
Yes.
No, we keep them constant.
Well, follow up then, is the what you would consider the stress tolerant varieties the ones that recovered the quickest, or the ones that are just reducing the transpiration and conserving water? Which means, you know, it implies that you look at how long it takes for the plant to recover. Have you looked into that, or what's your feeling on that?
We are looking into that too,
okay.
But we haven't finished those tests yet, but we are doing that.
What's your feeling? Which is better?
Actually, I'm not directly involved with those tests, so I cannot say. Okay, we have tested, so the question is, well, we are testing these with diluted plants, and what could be the response if there are the response of evaporins in roots? Is that correct?
Yes.
Was that question?
How would that affect the
stream? We have tested not just the diluted plants, but also intact plants as well. And we couldn't see any results that we can infer anything from, except for in the derooted plants. So that's why we have been using them. So we are not sure if what the exact response of the root evaporin would be.
Acknowledging that limiting transpiration limits the amount of water used by the plant, what is the effect on the water use efficiency, the crop water productivity? Do we get an improvement? Or do we just have less yield?
I think that's an interesting question.
That's a really important one.
Yes. And I'm not sure if I can exactly answer that. Can you please repeat the question again? Is it about the limited transpiration trait, how it affects the water use efficiency, or just...
Yes, that's exactly what the question is. Does it affect water use efficiency, or do we just get less yield?
So, in my experience, we haven't actually tested that directly, so I cannot say that.
If there's limited transpiration and lower stomatal conductance, if
concentration remain the same, or is it possible that the internal seal concentration may compensate?
That's one of the other things that we are looking into right now, but we don't have that answer yet.
I was interested to know, did you try to applying inhibitors to the lead surface to see what is the effect of, because most of that effect is happening at the lead level?
Yes.
Any guessing on that?
I don't recall exactly, but I think it was done as a preliminary study and we couldn't find any useful data from that, so we didn't pursue that.
So you tried a roots
instead? Roots and whole plants and denuded plants, but we did try and it didn't work out, so we didn't pursue that.
One more question? Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.